The Broken Arrow, a traditional bow hunting podcast with your host, Schaefer Magnet and Chris Seacole. Brought to you by Black Widow Bows, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, Addictive Archery, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters. Welcome back to the Broken Arrow Traditional Bowhunting Podcast, episode 102 with Mark Pointer. This is an absolute treasure of an episode. We had a blast BSing with him, and we have a super secret special guest at the end, so stay tuned for that too. Before we get into the episode, we want to make a couple quick mentions. February 23rd to the 25th is the first Northwest Traditional Archers Expo. That'll be in Pendleton, Oregon at the Rodeo Grounds. Lots of good stuff going on here. Novelty shoot, photo contest, silent auction, elk calling contest. The seminars from Chris Jasmine, Trent Wingard, Joel Turner, and Jim Atkinson. All kinds of good stuff And the guest speaker will be Paul Ford. So check that out. I know the TradQuest guys have more information about that, so check them out. Look them up if you need any info on that. Also coming up, January 26th through the 28th, is the Traditional Bowhunters Expo presented by Kalamazoo Bowworks in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So that will start Friday the 26th at 2, go to 7, and then Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to noon. There's also a vintage archery sale prior to that. I think it starts at 8:30 and goes to 1:30. And it's separate from your separate price of admission for that one, but check that out too. So two really cool expos coming up. I think that's about it. I hope everybody's enjoying what's left of your archery seasons and or hunting seasons in general. And everybody's doing well, got through the holidays and all that. So thanks and enjoy this episode.
Let's do it.
Beautiful.
Just trying to get this thing a little bit closer.
Oh boy. Chris is always the downfall. So I guess tonight on the old podcast, we have Mark. Mark, I'm going to butcher your last name. It's so simple, and yet Pointer. I get tongue-tied every time
Pointer.
I try to say
it. Am I right? Pointer?
Pointer.
Pointer?
Pointer.
Yeah, you're right. Correct. Mark Pointer.
Just drop the T in the word pointer, and you're good to go. Pointer.
Pointer.
That's right. Pointer, yeah.
I love it.
Excellent. That's like people from Milton in Vermont. They'd be excellent at saying your name. But yeah, so Mark, I've gotten to know you because I'm going on the pig hunt you're doing through PBS down in Georgia. And then it seems like you hunt a lot, so I figured you'd be an excellent person to get on the podcast. So we're along for the ride now.
Yeah. I don't know. Hunting a lot. I probably got probably over 100 sets in tree stand this year.
Nice.
Well, that's a couple.
Yes. But,
it's some effort.
Absolutely. Before we get too far, Mark, we tend to forget this. Maybe if you would just want to say who you are generally and then like quick description for those listening.
Yeah. So my name's Mark Pointer. I've been hunting pretty much all my life, originally from Southeast Missouri, joined the army, traveled the world. And 23 years later, me and my wife, Stephanie, and six kids have settled in South Carolina.
Nice. So one of the things I thought was super cool was when you were active military, as you were telling me the other day, and now you literally chose where you went based on hunting.
Oh, 100%. Everything that we do in my household at this point in stage is condition based, and that condition is where I'm going hunting next.
Oh, that is too good.
Without a goal, you have nothing to shoot for.
Yeah, I mean, in the Army, you basically get, you can kind of choose, your top three. Well, I always said I want to wear flip-flops 9 months out of the year, and I want to be in the South to hunt as long as I can.
Excellent. Now, have you shot traditionally the whole time, or did that come on later?
Yeah, so no, this is kind of like the big scheme of things. Growing up on a farm in Southeast Missouri, for as long as I can remember, there's been a bow laying around, be it a compound, be it a stick bow, just a bow in the house, and we're always shooting. Then I joined the Army, and then for a long, you know, a while there, like 23 years there, you know, it, we was there, we was in places, we was gone. It was kind of hard to hunt as much as I wanted to. So we did a big stint in Italy. And when we got back in Italy, probably around 2007, 2008, I just went straight stick bow and been running with a stick bow ever since.
Nice.
Did you hunt outside the country? Like, can you hunt in Italy?
No, not at all.
I didn't think so. What's their laws like over there? They have like gun law. Like, well,
To be honest with you, during that time, I was basically doing a year in country and a year out of country. When I mean a year in Afghanistan, a year in Iraq, I'd be in Italy for 6 to 9 months, then repeat.
Gotcha.
Oh, no kidding. That
was pretty much my whole time there. So when I was back in Italy, you know, hunting probably was the furthest thing from my mind at the time.
Right.
A couple other things on your mind.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Once we got back from Italy, like when I was in Afghanistan and on a deployment, I was like, man, where am I going next when we leave Italy? And it was either Fort Polk, Louisiana or Fort Stewart, Georgia. That was like where I wanted to go. And I went to Polk first. And then followed after Polk, we went to Stewart, and after Stewart here at Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
You were in Afghanistan?
Yeah, several times. I did take a bow into Afghanistan.
You did?
Oh, yeah. And anytime that I could shoot while we was in country, we shot. And then when we come back, we had several compounds that we brought back at that time. And then a couple stick bows and that. So
were there a lot of guys over there that were shooting?
Yeah. Once it kind of got kicked off, you know, once everybody seen that it was something to do, I was in a real remote place in the Kunar province.
Yeah.
Real remote. So we didn't have nothing else to do.
Right.
So, you know, I had a block target and I had my bow and I'd shoot whenever we could.
Awesome.
Yeah, that has got to make that whole situation just a little bit better. A little bit tolerable, I guess I should say.
Throughout Afghanistan or whatever, you know, different places, like we'd see like a Bowtech poster or a poster, you know what I mean, or something that would show that somebody was shooting a bow some round or somebody doing something.
That's cool.
Excellent.
Yeah. Makes that time a little bit easier to deal with.
Yeah.
For sure.
So one thing you said, obviously, is you ended up at Fort Stewart, which I figure is probably a pretty good, before we get too far in, how did you get hooked up with PBS, Mark, and ended up doing these pig hunts? Because you used to do two of them, right? You did the one at Fort Stewart and then one in South Carolina.
Yeah, so really it started out just me and another guy. Like PBS, once I just kind of joined PBS as a goal, because they had like, you know, where you got to kill eight big game animals or whatever. And I was like, man, I'm going to do that in 2 years. So I seen that and I was like, that's kind of how I got picked up on PBS, which is probably not the right way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't know nothing about PBS. I didn't see it. I just seen like Professional Bull Hunter Society, and then I look down there like 8 big games a year, and I'm like, I'm going to do that. And I was like, you know, so I started doing these hunts. So I started getting into PBS, and the more I got into it, I knew that was the furthest from the truth. It wasn't like, you know, the fellowship, the mentorship, all that kind of stuff was there.
Yeah.
And so I started doing these pig hunts, and this would be hunt number 3 that we're going to start in Stewart. And I did one here that really wasn't a PBS hunt. It's just me and another guy. And then I just realized that, hey, there's a bunch of knuckleheads out there that wants to do these hunts with me.
Beautiful.
A lot of them.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I'm going on these hunts anyway, right? I'm going to do them anyway. And either I do them by myself or I do them with 8 to 9, 10 like-minded individuals.
Heck yeah. That sounds like a terrible time, Mark.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's a little more entertaining when you got a couple of lunatics in there with you.
Yeah, we all just fit right in. You know what I mean? Everybody fits right in. And so far on the hunts that we've done, everybody gets after it. I mean, there's nobody sitting around camp. I mean, these boys are hunting hard.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's funny how that whole
Professional Bow Hunter Society, that whole professional part is mistaken, and it's all actually being your professionalism in the woods and your moral standards and things like that. And it's funny how I think I mistook it when I first
When people hear the word professional, they think of sports.
Pro, yeah.
They don't think of professionalism in the business aspect of the world.
Yeah, because most of the pros out there aren't really professional.
No.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. Once I really realized what it was, then it was more what I wanted than when I started, if that makes sense. Once I realized that, you know, it's about mentorship, it's about woodsmanship, it's about good morals, good ethics, all that kind of stuff, it just fell right in with basically my core beliefs to begin with.
Excellent.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I think that's why we're all members. That makes it. I mean, you know, those people are they're it's a unique group of amazing people. It really is. Every time I meet a new person from the Professional Bowhunter Society, I know I'm going to like them immediately.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Wonderful. So the Fort Stewart hunt, which Chris is not going to,
Newman
and I have tried so hard, Mark. We're still trying, but I think
it's March, right?
February. I mean, you bring a Newman into this. I mean, y'all boys are losing credit right off the bat.
Oh, he's been relentlessly busting my ass about not going, but we're going on a family vacation a month and a half later. And
the best part about Newman is he does it so dry.
So dry and nonchalant. He just lays into you. It's terrible.
Yeah, Chris, I told Newman, I was like, hey, you got to tell him, you got to work with him because he's helping me shooting, right?
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, man, Newman, you got to tell him that he just sucks so bad, you got to put your hands on him.
There's a podcast he just was on, and we're dropping it Monday, and he just doesn't let up. He's like, yeah, we'll work on it in February when you're down at the pig hunt. I'm like, dude, really?
I forgot what movie it's called, but it was called Drive-Bys, and that's exactly what he does. He just makes fun of you or picks on you.
He casually kicks you in the nuts and then just keeps walking. Yeah.
That's just because he's ate too many crayons when he's a Marine.
I love that.
All right, post pig hunt, I'm already calling it a Mark Newman podcast. That'd be a good environment there.
Yeah, I mean, two different ones on the end of the spectrum on that one.
Oh yeah, that'll be perfect.
That'd be hilarious. But that hunt is Friday through Monday, which is kind of a weird 4-day span until you realize the Monday's President's Day. So, depending on where you work, you probably have Monday off.
Yeah, that was a Newman thing too. Newman's like, hey man, let's do it so everybody's got that day off. And the job I have now, I can get the time I need to hunt when I want to hunt. So, I was like, yeah, man, just whatever most folks can say they can come is when we'll do it. And that's the dates we come up with.
Beautiful. So, yeah, I know we're leaving. I think I'm going to work Wednesday. Am I going to work Tuesday? This is always confusing. Our goal is to get down there for midday Thursday. So I think I'm going to work Wednesday, and we're going to leave after I get out of work Wednesday.
How far of a drive is it for you?
I think didn't the way we figure we're this going,
out? Isn't it the same same as Kalamazoo? It's like 9 hours from my place?
No, it's longer.
Is it?
I think the way I'm going, it's going to be 19 hours.
Is it South Carolina or Georgia?
South Georgia.
It is Georgia.
At Fort Stewart.
I'm sorry, Georgia.
So it's right over. It's right over the border, though. Pretty much, right?
Yeah, just right over the border.
Yep. Okay, all right.
Yeah, because when I heard Georgia, and then Newman said how close he was to it, I'm like, that doesn't even make sense.
He's only got like an hour or two drive or something like that.
An hour and a half.
Yeah. So for me, it's a 2-hour drive, 2.5-hour drive, and for Newman, it's like an hour and a half.
And where are you guys camping? Is it a campground or is it?
Yeah, it's a campground right there on the military installation.
Okay, all right.
It's a pretty good deal. I mean, it's, you know, pretty reasonable as far as expense. It's got a bathhouse, and you can literally walk out of camp and start hunting if that's what you want to do.
How are the tags for out of state?
I think $42, something like that.
Oh my God.
I was about to say, I think the Fort Stewart license is the most expensive part.
And what's that, Ron?
Right. And that's one thing I kind of stay away from because, you know, when I scroll on there and see it, I look at for the retired military, so that's the only one I really pay attention to. But like the whole hunt's less than $200.
I think I'm going to be out $125 between the Fort Stewart side and the non-resident Georgia side.
That's awesome. Yeah,
correct.
For an out-of-state hunt,
all you really need is a small game, a Georgia small game, and then I think it's like $20, and then $6 each additional day. And then the Fort Stewart, I'm not exactly
I think sure it's 80.
Yeah,
like it was around 80. But what? That like so the downside about Fort Stewart part of it per se is if you're only going there once, it's not that good of a deal. But that $80 is a year pass.
Oh, okay. Right. That's cool.
So like if you live near Fort Stewart, it's a
still,
good deal.
Dude, that's still not bad. Not, I mean like if you think about it,
it's good overall.
Under $200 to go hunt pigs out of state is a pretty damn good deal, I think.
Oh yeah, I'm not complaining. Yeah.
For sure. What the hell was I just going to say? Oh, it's gone. And what's your limit? Like how many pigs can you kill?
I don't think there is. It
means you can kill.
That's awesome. Oh yeah, it means
you can tote out of the woods.
Oh man, that's rad. That is awesome.
I mean, everybody sees, I mean, this, I mean, it's no secret that Fort Stewart's a place to hunt pigs. There's several, you know, there's a bunch of people on YouTube and there's a bunch of, and I know all those guys that hunt down there and, it's not a walk in the park. You're going to have to hunt.
Yeah,
you're going to have to hunt. You're going to have to hunt hard. And you will be as successful as you put into it. I mean, if you go there and sit around the campground, you're not going to kill a pig.
Mm-hmm.
If you go there and get after it, your chances are pretty good.
Beautiful.
That's cool. What's
going to be weird? Sorry, I was just going to say, it's going to be weird to be in the woods down south because, like, I've been to Florida twice, but both times I was, like, in middle school. And, like, clearly I wasn't going to the woods, right? So this is going to be, like, a huge, huge change for me.
You have to do like, snake preparation, too, right? Are you wearing boots?
That was – so the first time I talked to Mark, he's like, ask me any questions. And I'm like, my only real question is what would you do about snakes? Because around here, we don't have anything that can kill you.
No. We got rattlers, and that's it.
It's even we have rattlesnakes.
That's a night in the
way
hospital.
Way down south.
Yeah.
Not even near me. So it's like not even a factor.
Mm-hmm.
So going down there, it's a little bit more on my mind.
So what's the deal with snakes, Mark?
It depends on who you ask. I run around with hiking boots and that's it. Like I don't really get into the whole snake thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks down there swear by it. Is there big water moccasins and rattlesnakes down there? 100%. I don't put a lot into it. I really
like what you told me, Mark. What at the end of the day, you have to do what makes you feel good.
Yeah,
that's
what's gonna make you comfortable. Schaefer, if I told you how many rattlesnakes are up in the sawmill area where when we go to Etar. You'd probably crap yourself. There's that's heavy population of rattlesnakes up there. Have you ever seen one?
I've seen several down here.
Hey, I'm only afraid of rattlesnakes up there now when I'm looking for Chris's arrows. So that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta stay. He can't be in the looking for arrows in the dirt.
Wow.
That's one of those Newman drive-bys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't shoot 300s, your arrows don't go in the dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying.
What's that thing? This is like a school ground recess insults or whatever that's called. School
you know, you know only people shoot 300, right?
What's that?
You know, only people shoot 300, right?
Oh, here we go.
Is the boys that wish they could shoot split.
You know Newman shoots 300.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
Just yeah.
We're going to have freaking camps at this pick.
Holy shit, I should be gone.
Yeah, you'll have Newman over there with a control shot process. You'll have me over slinging left and right.
Oh, this is great.
But, yeah, we're in the grip and rip it side over here.
I'm just looking for a little bit of assistance here.
So I can't talk too much trash. I
haven't drank the Kool-Aid yet.
3 years ago, I had a pretty rough season. So, you know,
that was my deal. Newman,
I hollered at Newman. You know, I did the video. A great dude, great coach, great everything.
He is.
But then 6 months later, I'm back gripping and ripping.
I'm the type of person that will practice the best form, but at the end of the day, I want it to feel natural and be fun. So I'm only willing to do so much of it as long as I'm happy with the results.
I think that's where I'm at right now. Cause I mean, I know he just posted a video and you've seen it, Mark, where they get the wrist like that and they're, I can't do that, dude. It doesn't even feel good. It doesn't even feel like I want, like Schaefer said, I want it to feel good. If it feels good, awesome. I like a lot of aspects of what he's taught me. And I've definitely gotten the big one for me was when I was drawn before I was getting here. Right. And now I'm back here where that elbow comes in. So that elbow comes in line with the string and dude, that helps me a lot with holding.
You're getting a true alignment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the part where I was struggling. And cause I was muscular, like holding with muscle, not with bone alignment. And that's where he's helped me out a ton. And that
I hit your alignment. I'm only there about 2 seconds. So
yeah, I'm still struggling with my hold, but whatever. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm that's hitting. All that matters. I shot yesterday or shit. We have this crazy, crazy range here about a half hour from my house. And dude, they have a float plane on the roof. This place is insane. And we shot out there and I shot like lights out. I was amazed at how well I was shooting. So whatever I'm doing is clearly working. Whatever he's teaching me is working.
It's working.
Mm-hmm, for sure. That's cool. It's good stuff. But
yeah, I mean, I talk trash, but I killed that cow. I killed a cowdy not too long ago and I shot it 3 under. I picked up ILF bow and I went and shot at 3 under, smoked a cowdy, really shot 2 that night, and then went right, depends on what bow I guess I'm shooting, went right back to split finger the next day.
How far away were you from the coyote?
18 yards on the first shot, 22, 23 on the second.
Damn.
So should we call that, like, how do you shoot bi-stinctive?
Yeah.
How about Luke, Longbow Luke? He switches. He flips back and forth between the two.
Yeah, Luke, I listen to that, and I do the exact same. It really depends. Wow. I kind of do the same thing. When he was saying that, I was like, man, that's a lot like me.
If he got that opportunity and you can pull it off, man, that gives you a whole – that opens up a lot of windows for you.
It just really depends on – I only shoot that ILF bow like once or twice a year. And
you just give them one or two.
I only do it once or twice a year, and then I just pretty much shoot my Acadian tree stick or my Wagstaff and wood arrows 90% of the time, split finger.
Okay. We can find some agreement here.
Yeah. Well, before we get too much further, I'm going to ask Chris's favorite question. I'm going to steal it right from out from underneath.
Go ahead. It's all right.
All right, Mark. What is your first traditional kill?
I struggled. I knew y'all was going to ask me this, and I was like, man, they're going to ask me that. And I just been bounced too many times. So I'll give you my first traditional kill in Fort Stewart, which I think is really my first traditional kill. But it was after my Italy trip. So it was a 8-point buck, about 15 yards.
Nice.
Awesome. Nice enough close.
Did it go down well, poorly?
Oh, no. So it went perfect. So I hunt feed trees. I know y'all probably hear that terminology quite often. And that's them boys down in Louisiana. I'm sure y'all heard Mr. Warren Womack and R.C. Carter.
Little Chris Louisiana Spikes. Killers.
I've actually had I've basically sat on a tailgate one time, Mr. Warren in Louisiana, and didn't have a clue who I talked to, and then basically kept in contact with him. And I followed Mr. RC through the swamp down in Fort Stewart for a couple of times. So them two boys taught me how to hunt feed trees, or that's kind of where I picked that up at. So I just found a swamp chestnut oak that was dropping on Stewart. 18 yard shot, 8-point buck come in, shot him with a big 3-blade snuffer.
Nice.
I mean, it was pretty done deal.
Well, sometimes the first time does go well.
Yeah. Mine went nice and smooth too. My first one, my first traditional one. My shit shows were compound ones, man. They were ugly. Some of them.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember some compound, like way back in, you know, when I was 17, 18 years old, mm-hmm. shit shows, 100% shit shows.
Yeah. The traditional ones have been really quick. Like I haven't shot a deer over 10 yards and I haven't seen it go more than like 30 some yards. I've watched every single deer fall over. So except for the one from this year, this one, that didn't go well.
Yeah.
Hanging out with Newman.
Broke a few golden rules this year and it showed.
No, he was 15 yards.
17 yards.
No, he's 15.
You said 17 the day of.
Probably, but he was definitely 15. I have terrible judgment.
Yeah.
He's probably like between 15 and 17, but it was like everything felt right until he dropped his shoulder and I hit him high. But I mean, whatever. Yeah, it sucked.
I mean, it's bow hunting.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yum.
I mean, it is what it is.
It is. I mean, absolutely.
It is. You killed him later, didn't you?
What's that?
You killed him with a rifle later, right?
I killed one with a rifle. I had the one I killed with a rifle. I had at like freaking 8 yards in early October behind me, though, and I got to full draw on him, but my tip was up against the tree. So basically, I was standing backwards in my tree stand. And I couldn't take the shot. It was too tight to the tree, and I would have smacked my limb tip off the tree. So I had to let down. And then I saw him in rifle season the first Saturday, and I shot him.
It sucks, but it happens. My wife's a fanatic bow hunter too. We're just crazy with it, and she shot a just monster, and we didn't find him this year.
That sucks.
That's a bummer.
How about this one? One of my friend Joe was out hunting with the flintlock 2 days ago, and he shot a doe, and she flopped over, like couldn't stand up, was down for the count, and he let her go for about 10 minutes, and she was still kind of moving, flopping around a little bit, and he's like, "All right, I'll go in for a close shot." He was like 30 yards away from her. So he walked in and he thought he hit her high in the spine or something, the way she was dragging her ass end around. He walks into her, goes to shoot. She turns, looks at him, gets up like nothing happened and bolted. She was down on the ground for like 10 to 15 minutes, he said.
Right.
Weird.
And she got
up. Shoulder hit?
I don't know where he hit her. He didn't tell me. I don't know if he really even knew. Right. I think it was a 30 yard shot with a flintlock. But but he said she just got up and took off, and he lost blood and never found her.
Wild.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to drag it down another path, but I burned quite a bit of powder myself.
We can go down that path. Schaefer might get pissed, but
I'll sit here looking out into space clueless.
We'll lose him for a few minutes.
That's okay.
I took a poll not too long ago, and I think there's about – I'd say about 45 to 50% of our listeners are flintlock enthusiasts in some manner.
Well, I think that's part four. If you know you're shooting a stick bow, I think flintlock's part of it, and fly fishing. If you kind of like all three of those things,
they kind of go together.
Yeah.
How can we irritate ourselves more?
Yeah.
I think that's our fundamental principle we have in our. ourselves.
Yeah, it's just what's the hardest route, because that's the route we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the most challenging? What's the most difficult? And what can we be the most part of? I can build my own flintlock. Well, shit, I want to do that. I can make my own arrows. I can hammer away my own stone points or whatever, you know? It's that stuff that attracts all of us.
Absolutely. You can go further down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm. And be more of a part of it. You're not buying all your crap. Some of it you're making, or to at least to some extent, you know, or you know. Absolutely. The people who made it. That's even that's even the cooler part, you know.
One of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Mark, one thing I wanted to ask you: you've sat a lot this year. What do you have on the ground? So, well, not this year. Last year, it is 2024 now. What have you gotten down this season?
So I've killed. 3 coyotes, 2 deer, and 3 or 4 pigs.
Nice.
All archery?
Yeah, all archery.
That's awesome. Do you hunt? You hunt with flintlock, obviously.
Yeah, I do. Like, I play with, like, right now. Like, so South Carolina's got some crazy rules. Like, so during small game season, you have to hunt with a small game weapon. So, like, for pigs, that's not really a small game, but you have to use whatever weapons in season. So, like a squirrel, like a 22 Magnum.
Can you use a bow? Is bow considered small game?
No, it's not. It's if you put a broadhead on, then you come out of the small game realm. Now you're shooting big game with your bow. So if you want to hunt squirrels, rabbits, or whatever with small game, you have to have judos or blunt tips. Blunts or some. Which lame. I'm hoping to change that law.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
Like right now, like yesterday we went pig hunting and I carried my 36 caliber.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You could probably take a pig with that, couldn't you?
Oh, all day long.
What kind of rifle is it? Is it a?
It's I don't know. It's a kit that I built. It's with Traditions. It's a 36 caliber.
Full stock or half stock?
Full stock.
Okay.
Just the model name just slipping me right.
Yeah. It's I was just curious. Like, what type is it? Is it like a Hawken or is it like a full stock? Something like.
Yeah. No, it's a full PA stock. Rifle or something. I built it more off like a Woods Runner, like a full stock patch box, all that good stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. You know, nice. I took it from a kit, but then I put a bunch of other different inlays, and I kind of worked it up pretty good.
Nice. I want a 32 or 36. I have my pistol's a 36 caliber, but I want a 36 caliber rifle for small game and stuff. That'd be sweet.
100%. Yeah, basically, cool. I got 4 or 5 of them laying around. I got a 62 caliber I built.
Mm-hmm.
I built a Fuselage Chase.
Okay.
See that smoothbore 62 caliber. I got a 50, a 44 caliber, and then my 36 caliber.
62 caliber is like, is that 20 gauge or is it 12?
20 gauge.
20 gauge? Okay. 20 gauge. Yeah, that is cool. And you shoot either or, huh?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. I'm in the process right now. My buddy Rick makes rifles. He's been doing it for about 4 years now. He's getting really good at it. And so he is shopping for a barrel for me right now. And I think we have the blank, the stock, and I'm going to start probably in May, start building mine. I'm really, really, really freaking excited about that. That'll be cool.
Yeah. You'll love it. I mean, it'll be multiple to you.
Yeah. And he goes that extra, like he builds the stuff. It's pretty sweet. And the barrel is going to be made by a guy here in, I think he's in New York, the guy who makes the barrels. So it's kind of cool. It's I'm excited.
Very locally made.
Yeah, locally, and it's going to be a PA rifle. It's going to be a Bucks County rifle. So
there you go.
Yeah, I'm pretty fired up about it. I got a chambers lock for it, and I think that's about where we're at. So yeah, should be rad.
Yeah, I'm gonna build another one here in the next year or so.
I'm sure this is probably not the end of it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I like doing this stuff. I like
pushing them. That snowball closer to the edge.
I'm excited because I have a Lyman, right? I have a Great Plains, and I'm going to hand that over to my son so he can start shooting this summer with us, because there's a group of us at our gun club that shoots every month, and so now he can get in on it. So it's just, I mean, I have ulterior motives for building my own rifle because I get to toss him one, and, you know,
it's always good justification for the wife. Well,
yes, it's not for the wife.
What I did was I had 4 boys, and I told my wife I was going to make each one of my boys one.
Heck yeah.
So that's kind of what I've been working on.
Well, my son's pretty obsessed with the gun part. He's not really into archery as much as I wish he was, but he's really into guns. So if I can get him shooting flintlock, that's cool enough for me.
Why not? As long as he's out there, as long as he's with you.
Heck yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
What's next, Schaefer?
Well, I was trying to come up with any of the pig hunts have a cool story to them, Mark?
Here's a funny one. I mean, when you go on pig hunts, they're all cool, right? There's nothing not cool about walking miles and miles in the swamp or however you hunt. I mean, it's they're very vocal, they're very loud, you know, it's just a fun hunt. So all of them are fun. But here's a funny one for you. At a hunt I was doing at Stewart. I got in a spot. I got set up. You know, I went in before daylight. I actually hung a tree stand. I was deer hunting, and you know, hogs are part of it. So I'm in the stand, and I hear somebody like something clapping, and I'm like, "What is that noise?" And I mean, it was like somebody clapping at me. You know, like clapping. And you know, like some people, like if you climb close to somebody, they'll whistle at you, or you know what I mean. And I'm looking around. I'm like, "Who the hell's clapping at me?" You know, like. Why don't they just whistle or hoot like a hoot owl or something, right? And I'm sitting there and I hear this clapping. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Who is walking through the woods clapping? Well, a big boar hog stepped out about 35 yards, but his ears were so big and the bugs were so bad when he would slap his head side to side. It was his ears smacking his side.
Clapping?
No, clapping.
Plop, oh, that's plop, awesome. Plop.
So I was like, golly, here. And I was like, I'm about to kill this son of a bitch. Like, it's on. And I'm up there, and he comes right in like 6-7 yards, and I just put a woodsman just straight down through him. He made a nice big circle, went completely out, and come almost right back and died underneath my tree.
Oh, that's cool.
He was actually having a family barbecue that day, and I called my wife, and I was like, hey, have you put the burgers on yet? And she's like, no. I was like, well, don't. Grab the kids in the stroller and come. And I told her I was at. I was like, come help me. I got this big pig down. She's like, are you kidding me? Like, really, right now? I was like, well, I'm not going to let it walk. You know, like, I'm going to shoot it this close. And so she shows up, and I've got this big hog drug out to the side of the road, basically, more like a trail. And we had to get, you know, another click or so to the truck. And I was like, get that kid out of that car seat. We're going to put this hog. He's like a jogger. So we put that big hog in one of those joggers, and I rode it all the way out to the truck, and then That was a pretty funny one.
Oh, that's too good. So that reminds me. Does Fort Stewart have any, you know, I don't know how big that pig was, but like in all the videos I see, a lot of them are in that like classic, like good to eat size.
Right.
Do they get some real big hogs there, or are they usually on that?
Yeah, but I mean, like when you hear somebody, like, if I don't know somebody and they say, let's just say I just hear some old boy talking and he's like, hey, I killed a 200-pound hog yesterday. You know, and first thing I ask him, where at? You know, let's just say he says, you know, at this WMA. Well, that's a hell of a hog for a wild 200-pound hog. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So most of your pig, I mean, it just depends. There's big pigs out there, just like everything else. But, you know, a 200-pound wild boar, that's a big hog. I mean, that's a big pig for the wild pig.
What's your average?
You know, you can shoot one from 35 to 105 or 120. I mean, they're anywhere. Piglet size, I mean, it's on you, because you might get on a group of pigs and there might be 10 or 15 pigs there.
Gotcha.
So, yes, like when you go down to Stewart and when you walk in and into the little, where you check in at the campground, there, you'll see some big hog mounts in there. Those pigs all come from there. But, you know, I haven't ran across too many that big, you know, and I don't weigh them or anything. So, you know, you could kill a 200-pound hog down there, but that's a big pig.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't eat as well either, from what I understand. So counterproductive almost.
Yeah. If there's a 60 pounder standing out there and a 200 pounder, I'm shooting that 60 pounder every time.
The eating's better.
It's not so much eating. It's just not so much to get out the damn woods.
I kind of thought that was coming.
Yeah.
How's the meat on them, man? Is it pretty good?
Yeah. I can't tell no difference. Yeah. I mean, poor. I mean, you put sweet baby Ray's on something, it don't get too bad. You know what I mean?
Some shifties on there.
I don't know about that.
Oh, that's good. So another thing, I mean, obviously you've shot a lot of pigs. I think you and I have had this conversation. I know I've had it with Newman. One of the funny things I find about pigs is, like, you ask people about what setups to use for them, right? And it ranges from, like, your whitetail setup to don't really worry to, like, you need to shoot the best penetrating setup possible. Is there any rhyme or reason to any of that, or do you just go with the same old, same old?
Man, there's a lot of guys out there that's killed way more pigs than me, so I don't want to sound like an expert. Like, I kill, let's just say, 3 or 4 a year with a bow, maybe 5, 6 on a good year, right?
Yep.
And one day I might be shooting a 40-pound bear recurve with a big old snuffer, and the next day I might be shooting a 50-pound longbow with a grizzly on front of it. It don't matter. You hit them in the right spot, they're gonna die.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, it's always been confusing from a third party perspective that doesn't pick hunt, because it seems to be all over the board and no general consensus compared to a lot of things.
When somebody tells me their pig hunt set up, you know, I basically say, well, how many pigs you kill this year? And that gives them street credit or not.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Is it those Texas pigs that are freaking huge?
Yeah, I don't know. I've been in Texas too, and I've killed a few pigs in Texas, and pigs are pigs. I don't care where you're at.
Did you do the PBS hunt there?
No, I was stationed down there for several years.
Oh, okay.
Oh cool. Gotcha.
Yeah. Whereabouts were you?
Fort Hood and Killeen.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think where people have issues with pigs is they don't shoot them right. If you shoot a pig like you shoot a white-tailed deer, you might not even be in the lungs.
It's more like the bear, isn't it?
No, it's opposite. Yeah,
it's opposite.
Is it?
You can't shoot them too low and shoot them through the elbow.
Yeah, you got to tuck it like as close to the shoulder, if not through the shoulder.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I've never hunted pigs, so.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, a lot of fellas they shoot and I've shot pigs and not recovered them, and I'm like, man, that should have been a dead hog. And the more experience I gained, I just kind of realized that if you shoot them like you shoot a deer, you might not get that pig. You need to shoot them low. And I mean, literally when I shoot at pigs, I try to shoot through their elbows.
No kidding.
Like maybe 1 inch. I pick a spot 1 inch above that elbow and I just try to push it right through there.
You got to Google a picture.
It's amazing how different animals are. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing about pigs. And this is where, like, when it comes to shooting, right? Pigs never stop moving.
Yep.
Never. I mean, you're not going to – pigs never – like, it's funny I say this because I talked about it with Newman. And he made I got him on a pig, and he made an outstanding shot on a pig. But before that at camp, I was like, man, you're going to kill a pig tomorrow. And he was talking about his shot process, and I was like, I want to see you do that with that pig squealing at you at 15 yards.
He did say that, yeah.
You got to show me. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me. You know what I mean?
How'd he do?
And he did.
We heard his story.
One of the things he said was, say that again.
We heard his story about how well he did.
What did he say?
I think he said it was. I don't know if he said it was perfect.
He asked you guys because he wasn't sure. Yeah, I think he asked you guys.
Yeah, I said, how was that shot? He said, I don't think I picked my spot.
I just messaged Newman to see if he's got any questions for you, Mark.
Yeah.
He's going to get ugly quick.
Oh, that's okay. That's when he gets fun. Oh.
Yeah,
he did all right.
Only thing I remember Newman's kid. I just remember, you know, I mean, I don't think he ever killed a pig up to that point.
No, I don't think he said he didn't. I don't think so.
I think that's his first pig, and he was, I mean, he was pretty excited.
Yeah, heck yeah, I can imagine. That's got to be a thrill once you finally do it.
But if you hear his story, I mean, he probably told you I got a little tense or something, did he?
I don't really recall.
Yeah. Remember. I think he said you guys are busting his balls pretty good. You should be. I mean, I'm sure he'd be busting my ass if I was down there.
Oh, yeah. Naturally.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it goes. So
he'd probably let you know mid-shot to let down.
Yes.
Yeah. He made a pretty good shot, then turn around and fist bump me. And I was like, what the f- are you doing? We got pigs to kill. I keep shooting.
Oh, that's good.
He did say that one. He did say, I turned around, I was excited, and they were like, get to work. You got more stuff to do.
Yeah.
We're not done yet.
Yeah. Me and my buddy, my swamp running buddy, old Blaine Richardson, we looked at each other like, man, this guy needs to get on it. Keep shooting.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh.
Did he get back to you?
But
no, not yet. He sent the thinking emoji.
The three dots start going frantically.
No, that's Alex Melnick.
He's trying
Melnick.
To figure it out. He can't talk about Pig Hunt because he's a rookie.
He's typing.
He's gonna say something about a shot process.
Man, I should have thought of some. Wow, he's blanking.
What?
Of course, he won't realize that I'm throwing him under the bus as he's trying to think of a question until he listens to it.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, that's too good.
Love it.
Absolutely. So are you still shooting your same stuff, Mark? I mean, obviously, he's read my story on my first hog. Have him tell his perspective. Just got it.
Yeah. No, I'm still shooting the same thing. I have two long bowls I go back and forth with. It's an Acadian tree stick, 60-inch at 50 pounds, and I have a bow built out of Texas, a Wagstaff long bow, 60-inch, 50 pounds, 29-inch wooden arrow, and broadheads, who knows. I did play a lot this year with a bear super grizzly, a 40-pound bear super grizzly.
Nice.
What year?
I shot it. What's that?
What year was it? Do you know?
It's a 75, 76.
Okay, so it's a grayling. Cool.
Somewhere right around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually traded a Bob Lee for it years ago, and it's a 40-pounder, and I got it for my son. And kind of like what you're saying, my boy don't shoot as much as I would like him to.
Right.
So I told him, I said, I'm going to bust this grizzly out, and it's going to eat something. And so I killed a pretty good buck with it this year and a hog with it this year.
Wait, Mark, it's a grizzly?
Yeah, super grizzly.
Super grizzly. Okay. So, I was gonna say I have about the same year grizzly, but it's one of the green and brown ones.
Yeah, this one's brown and it's got like a red stripe through it.
Okay, mine's green and brown with the brown glass on it.
Yeah, it's mine's like got 70, black glass.
I think it's like a 76 or a 77, something like that, in that area. It's a cool bow. Really,
hey man,
cool bow.
I don't know. It could be some Chinese knockoff for all I know. I mean, it's a super grizzly on the side, and I shoot it.
No, I just have the regular grizzly. I don't have the super one.
All right, we have two Newman questions I've rolled in.
Oh.
Mark, his son Jack wants to know the story behind Inda Lungs.
Inda Lungs?
Yeah.
So,
and that's Inda Lungs.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the ribs. So he can, since he can't ask it right, he can keep it.
Sorry, Jack.
Here's the background of that. So, do y'all know who Mr. Jeffrey Owen is?
Doesn't ring a bell. No.
All right. So that's your first homework assignment. Y'all look up who Jeffrey Owen is, and y'all figure him out. Yeah, Jeffrey Owen, South Carolina. Jeffrey Owen.
All right, writing it down.
And I think my buddy Blaine Richardson used to say that Mr. Owen would say in the ribs. So that's all me and Blaine say now. Like when we leave each other in swamp or other, it'd be like in the ribs. And basically that's just like our saying, like see you on the high ground or catch you later or whatever you say, but that's what we say in the ribs. And I got it written on my bow limbs, in the ribs.
Nice.
Okay. Okay, that's pretty cool. That was the first one. And then he said, ask him what his process is for stropping broadheads.
I don't do it. Hey, why don't I mess with all that when I'm just going to run it through a hole? They don't know no different.
No.
Perfect. Good answer.
I mean, you got some fellas out there that are worried about stropping broadheads, and you got other fellas in the woods. I'm one more in the woods fella.
It is funny how that seems to the people that seem to kill consistently seem to care a lot less about certain things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, man.
I'll be the first one to admit I am not on the right side of that puzzle.
I don't know. I mean, dead's dead, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm not, like I said, I don't get into it. I sharpen everything with a file. If anything, I might knock a burr off with a ceramic stick, if that, but I ain't spending hours and hours dropping broadheads. That's going to be in the dirt the next day.
Yeah. Now, with doing it that way, do you have any, like, just general tests to make sure it's up to your standards?
Like, no, biting? Man, not really. If it pops hair off, if it'll shave hair, then...
Okay, that's what
I don't know about y'all, but I don't have to strop a broadhead to get to shave hair.
I've never stropped a broadhead. I've never stropped a knife either.
Yeah, why would you?
I don't know. They shave my hair. That's good enough.
Yeah, I hit them with a file. Like I said, at most, I hit them with like a croc stick or something. You know, 5-10 minutes and it's back in the quiver and it's going on the next hunt.
I don't know if I have the skill to do a file. I got to try it. I got to get better at it.
I do on a 2-blade, not a 3-blade. Yeah, I guess
it just depends on, I guess, what, and I don't get wrapped up with 2-blade or 3-blade or 4. So out of the 5, like, let's just say I think I killed 5 or 6 animals this year, and they probably all been with a dead head.
Nice.
Yeah. Sounds like Colton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nah. Everything from like a 155 grain grizzly to a 4-blade bear razor head.
Yep.
To a snuffer. I mean, I don't know.
Original razor heads or the new ones?
Original razor head.
I have a feeling I know the answer to this already, but I'm assuming you might reuse arrows.
No, I never get one that don't break. I would, but every critter I shoot breaks my arrow.
That's fair. That's fair.
Even the ones that don't, like, I don't know if y'all, like, I missed a hog. I have the video on Instagram, but I missed a hog, and that son of a bitch broke my arrow when he ran off.
Insult to injury, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was the most perfect miss I've ever seen. I thought I killed that pig, and then he snapped and we ran off. I missed a little doe this year, and she snapped my arrow. So, I mean, even if I miss, my arrows get broke.
Every arrow shot is a lost arrow.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well count it.
Oh, that's good. Well, excellent. Do you have anything else you wanted to mention, Mark, or get into yourself?
Well, I got to ask you really quick. Is your season done? Or like, well, obviously you guys are hunting in February, but what about your deer season? Is that over right now?
Yeah, my deer season ended 2 days ago, 3 days ago. But man, season never really ends for me.
Right.
Like, I'll just roll for like basically season starting again. Like, our deer season goes from August 15th to January 1st.
Okay.
And the whole time I'm deer hunting. So this is how it kind of works. So big part of our hunting is on WMAs here because we can shoot pigs and deer.
Okay.
And then when that WMA closes, I roll right on to Fort Jackson where I'm just deer hunting. And then as soon as that closes, I roll right back into chasing pigs. But only difference is, like, now I'm chasing pigs with my muzzleloader or a 22 Magnum, but usually a muzzleloader. And then, you know, February going on a pig hunt in Stewart, I'll do another pig hunt again on another, another installation. And before you know it, I mean, we're right back to August 15th.
Yeah,
because you guys open ridiculously early.
Man, I wish we had pigs around here.
I have had, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword, obviously. It is, because pigs aren't great.
Yeah, they ruin everything, but still, like, to have that hunting opportunity year-round is pretty freaking awesome.
I mean, everybody says pigs are double-edged swords, but if you went out somewhere and there's 1,000 acres of private land that's loaded with pigs, and you act on the door and said, hey, man, can I hunt your pigs? They tell you no.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not, you know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, everybody says it's a double-edged sword, but I think they're the best thing around. If I had to choose between pig hunting and deer hunting, I'd pig hunt every time.
I'm happy you said that because I was going to ask.
Rewind this. Did you say if somebody's got like 1,000 acres loaded with pigs, they won't let you hunt on their property?
No, not at all. Like, that's what I'm saying. Everybody says it's a double-edged sword. You'll hear folks all around the South talking about how they hate pigs.
Yeah.
But yet they love them at the same time, clearly.
Yeah, or, you know, just like these WMAs that we hunt. Everybody says, hey, pigs are horrible, but, like, they restrict me from shooting pigs with a bow. You would think that you could shoot in, kill them any way you want if they were so bad.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah.
That's a fair point.
But at the end of the day, if I hadn't moved them all, the first question I'd ask is there pigs over there? And if there was no, then I ain't moving. You know what I mean?
If you could only hunt one creature the rest of your life, would it be pigs?
Oh, 100%.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I mean, I don't remember who said it, but it was on a podcast somewhere. And whoever said, like, is it Yolt Robertson?
Yeah, is that's Robertson? Dick's kid, yeah.
Dick and Yolt Robertson?
Yeah, right? It's Dick's son, yeah.
Like, I don't know that guy for nothing. I've never met him or talked to him or nothing, but on a podcast or something, I think that fella's hunted all over the world, right?
He has, yeah. They hunt Alaska
and
a lot.
They asked me, they said, hey, if you had to pick one animal to hunt, what would it be? And I could be misquoting this, but I don't think I am. And he flat said without hesitation, oh, man, I chase pigs.
I would have to assume part of the allure of chasing pigs is they're plentiful. It's usually you're walking or like it's more
spot
active.
And stock. You're not bored.
Yeah, it's just it's way more interactive.
Yeah. I imagine that that's 100%. The same deal why whitetail guys become infatuated with elk hunting because, well, obviously elk's really good eating too, but and the landscape's not so bad, but the constant on the go chasing is entertaining.
I've said it a lot on here, but going down to hunt pigs, I'm afraid it's going to ruin whitetail hunting for me too.
South.
Yeah, you never know. Now, I will say this. I think it might be different if you lived in the Midwest or even where you do, Chris. Like, where if you're in a deer mecca.
The deer suck here, man.
Well, yeah, totally. If you're in a place where the deer hunting's halfway decent.
It's terrible here.
Like I said, I grew up in Southeast Missouri. I've hunted all that area. I've hunted Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee. I've hunted all that as a young man.
Yeah.
And tomorrow I'd hunt pigs if I had a chance. I'd rather shoot a 40-pound pig on the stalk than a big buck.
I think you're screwed.
That's okay.
He's going to be moving down there, Mark.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Don't be mad at me when you – I mean, you're a mechanic, right?
Yeah, I can find work almost anywhere.
You can find work anywhere.
You're packing up your shit and your wrenches. You're packing wrenches up and heading south. You know, they got mechanics in the south, right?
They got cars down there.
There's a lot less rust, too.
I was going to say Schaefer. There's no snow and salt and crap all over the bottom of their cars down there.
Don't be mad at me.
Oh, that's too good.
Schaefer's moving south. Dude, why not? If you want to get out of Vermont and you're pissing and moaning about not having hunting opportunities, why would you not move to South Carolina or Georgia where you could get a controlled process shot by hanging out with Newman every day and you could go and hunt hogs every other? I mean, like, come on. What's wrong here, dude?
Oh.
Hey, you'd be shooting golf balls in the backyard instead of pigs. I'm just saying. You'd be down there hanging out with Newman, killing that little cardboard pig he's always shooting.
Hey, you got to have standards, right?
I guess, man.
That's a 200-pound cardboard pig, though, all day.
That is a 200-pound, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, that is too freaking good.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, this PBS hunt, if there's anything I can make sure people understand that this hunt is going to be it's hard. Like, you got to put in the time, effort. You're gonna have to walk a lot. You're gonna have to make it happen.
Yep. The one thing I really appreciated. So if you go on the PBS forum, I liked how you described it. It can be as easy or as hard as you want to make it.
100%.
Yeah. So awesome. Well, Mark, I think on that note, unless if there's anything you want to bring up,
no,
I'm a little nervous. Chris is giggling over there.
Yeah, what's he got?
I just got a text from Newman. It says, send me the Zoom link.
Send him the Zoom link.
Send him the Zoom link. We might not be right over this yet. Send
slight
it.
Slight intermission.
Slight deviation
here.
Of plans.
It's just Newman.
Oh, God.
Tell him it's been said. Right now.
What's that?
I said, you probably should stop recording.
No, it's okay. Get good. I'm really good at editing. Oh, boy. So I guess while we're waiting to see if he actually mans up and shows up here, so are you hunting anything else besides pigs? Is there any, like, are you actually out small game hunting or anything else?
No, I mean, that's basically what we're doing. Squirrel hunting, and then shooting. But basically, man, we target like tomorrow. I'm pretty sure I'm gonna kill a pig tomorrow afternoon.
And obviously,
opportunistic.
Yeah, and every hunt can always turn into a coyote hunt.
Yeah, 100%. I'll shoot every coyote that comes by.
Okay. Actually, speaking of which, you shot two the other night.
Yeah, so here's how that hunt went down. I set up in this big, what I call drainage, and about an hour.
Hey, you just showed up.
Your camera showed up. An
hour before dark.
Oh, just in time for shit. Newman.
Oh, what the hell's going on in here?
The best
he's
part,
even up there on that camera than he is in person.
The best part, Newman, is Mark's camera wasn't working the entire time. You pop up and boom, he's here.
I fix things. That's what I do.
We've never had this happen in a podcast before where somebody else decides to roll in. Send me the link. Mark, I texted him. I was like, man, you're taking a beating tonight. His response, send me the link.
Hey, he's going to come get some.
We were just about to wrap up, but if you're here, you can help us with that part, Newman.
All right, what's up?
Well, we've been talking, I don't know, Schaefer pig hunting and abusing your control process shot and
we've pretty much decided that there's going to be two camps down in Georgia. We're going to have the controlled process side and split finger. Those are the two camps.
Those aren't mutually exclusive.
Well, yes, you missed the bistinctive shooting. That was a conversation earlier.
I took the abuse for being your Padawan.
Chris, do you know that Schaefer reached out to me asking for some help?
No.
Oh my goodness, Schaefer.
He's bicurious. Look at him stammering for
no, words. I'm
He's
trying like, to think of the best way.
Hey, Ralph, I would say, though, I just want to make sure I let everybody know right off the bat that I asked for help. Then I'm just a lost cause.
No, you're not.
I did see a post the other day that Blaine's hanging out with you now too, looking for some coaching advice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I had a question that evolved. That is how I would describe mine.
I could give you the answer. It's called let it rip.
Yeah. I'll stay with Blaine, though, just because you brought it up, Chris. That's probably like the quickest turnaround from just like a, oh, crap, let it go shot to actually, you know, having some kind of control. He sent me like one set of videos, and then I think it was like a week or less than a week later, he sent me another set of videos, and it was like a 180. So
that's awesome.
Blaine, when you're listening, you know, good on you, man.
Heck yeah, buddy. Blaine, did you kill anything with that longbow yet?
Yeah.
That dude's had a rough season, but props to him. Stuck it out.
That's a lot of people are having rough seasons this year.
A lot of people I've talked to this year, it's just been weird.
Yeah, I think that goes around. Cyclical. Yeah. We all have our time, you know, where we have a killer season and then everything goes south on us. Whatever.
You just got to hunt more.
That's it. The more you hunt, the more opportunity you're going to have.
Solution for everything.
Hey, there's nothing beats ass in the seat.
I tell you, every time I would be sitting at my desk at work and I'd pull up and I'd see Mark sitting up in a tree with his yellow flannel on. I'm like, damn it, man, I need to be out there.
That's right.
Really dropping the ball
there's
there.
Nothing beats.
It's funny you say yellow flannel as I was just scrolling through Mark's Instagram page. It pops up quite frequently.
Yeah.
It's killer shit.
It's got mojo.
Mojo. Yeah. I like it.
So you guys are all set for this hunt. It's February what?
16th
to 19th.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Do you know how many PBS guys are going?
Man, who knows at this point? There'll be a shit ton to say, hey, they're coming, mm-hmm. and then it'll you know, the last 30 days the numbers will go up and down a little bit. Yeah. I didn't keep a solid count, but I have a lot of folks saying they're coming, but we'll see how it turns out. 30 days out, we're going to lock in some camping areas, and we're going to kind of put ass to seats, you know what I mean? Like, who's coming, who's not, and what camping area do you think you're staying at?
Okay.
The camping area, they're all together. There's nothing separate there.
Yeah.
They basically just have a sign in the ground. But I don't know. How many tents you think we could get per camping area, Newman?
I mean, we had this summer, we had, what, six of us in that one little spot, and it was plenty of room.
Yeah, still plenty of room. So we'll
and that
see.
Was with everybody kind of spread out in hammocks and other stuff, too.
So right. Mark, I got a question. If there's somebody out there that wants to get involved and show up down there, what do they have to do? Just give you a shout?
Yeah, just give me a shout out. I guess the best way to do it is just they can jump on that PBS website on the forum, and that's probably the best way.
Okay.
My contact information is on there, and they can just holler at me on that, and then I'll get back with them.
Newman, if you're coming from out of state and you've never been on a pig hunt before, what's some advice you'd give them?
Comfortable shoes.
The drain really well.
Yeah,
right?
And if you got ones that drain, if you got what I found, if you got comfortable boots, even if they're full of water, you're going to be okay. But if you got boots that are going to start rubbing hot spots and stuff, you're going to be miserable. Mark may have already told you, we had a guy who traveled a long way and came to hunt this summer and was wearing rubber boots for the first like 2 days. Just sweating like crazy in them. And I don't know, a tough guy, I guess, but he pulled it off. But yeah, I mean, just some good comfortable shoes. Now I haven't been out there where I'm getting wet feet and it's freezing cold. So Mark may be able to give more recommendations on that. Cause then that kind of introduces a whole nother, you know, when it's hot out, it's no big deal if you're soaking wet.
What are your temperatures like that? Like in February down there, what's it looking like?
Who knows? I mean, really, who knows? It could be 70 in the afternoons and 20s in the mornings. I mean, who knows?
No kid.
Nice wide spread.
I just wear hiking boots, get my feet wet, and keep moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I never stop. So I just travel light and keep moving.
Beautiful.
Just to give you an idea.
I don't like knee.
I was going to say, just to give you an idea.
I don't like knee boots.
It's amazing how our brains work.
I like the knee boots because, I mean, you're going to go over. If it's wet, you're going to go over them. I mean, who's going to sit there and say, oh, there's some pigs over there, but I'm going to not go because of water.
Right.
I'm going.
Right.
Yeah, I'm getting my feet wet. I'm going. I mean, it's
all right, here's a scenario for you, Mark. You got pigs across water, alligator halfway between you and said pigs. You still going?
I'll send you a video.
I think that is a yes.
I'm going.
Carry a blunt.
Yeah, I'm going.
Oh, all right, Newman. Now you had something.
Oh, I was just going to say, like with the weather. I mean, for example, my son and I are going on a duck hunt this weekend, and I think when we get out, like at shooting light in the morning, it's supposed to be like 36 and pouring down rain. And then by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think it's going to be 70 degrees and sunny. So. And that's, you know, that's pretty normal. January, February, sometimes early March too. So it's very hard to tell.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, you can literally 20, 30 degrees in the morning, 70 degrees in the afternoon, backdrop. Who knows what it's going to do? I mean, it doesn't matter what it does, you know, it's just going to keep going.
Is there any crap you guys want to talk to each other while you're here?
A little pre-gaming.
I don't know why you try to get us against y'all two is the one that's messed up.
I'm not coming. I'm not part of this.
Yeah, you are. You try between, you know, you got shooting 300 with arrows and you got Schaefer over split finger and carbon arrows. Y'all need to switch.
So do we cancel each other out?
That's weird.
Oh, God.
Have you ever tried like simultaneous, you know, one of you holds the bow and the other person draws it back. You just shoot together.
It could be. We might have to try that this summer. Or maybe we'll do out in Michigan.
There you go.
It's true. That's coming up.
Yeah.
One thing I know, I know there's three of us going to be in a pig hunt. One of us not.
Yep.
I'm just saying.
All right. So, yeah, this is a great episode, Mark. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I appreciate it. We'll catch you later.
You're just getting beaten over the head with a gun trip.
I know. I know you guys are going to be down there having a good old time talking all kinds of shit about me. I sorry. My ears will be ringing the whole time. It's all good.
Okay. There's an easy way to fix it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's all right. I can take some abuse, Mark. I got this.
I gotta add arrow six.
There you go.
that Schaefer, you need to move, man.
You and I were just talking about that yesterday.
I wouldn't need counseling if I was you.
That even covers two countries, Mark.
Oh, hell.
I think he's moving south.
That many arrows. I probably broke that many arrows and misses this year.
I got money on him moving south after this trip.
I told him the house next door to us is about to go up for sale.
There you go, Schaefer. See you later, bud.
Hey, me and old Blaine's gonna put Schaefer in a cargo pocket and take him in the woods.
There you go.
I don't think I'm gonna fit in a cargo pocket. I'm just gonna be mean to myself there.
Blaine's a big guy.
Yeah, we'll get you on a pig. Now it's gonna be up to you.
That's okay. It'll be fun. One way or another, it'll be fun. So, it'll be good.
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
Anything else we missed?
I think we've got more than we expected. We got
Newman involved. I mean, that was not expected. Them, so that worked out.
Y'all delete this one.
No, we'll post this one. Are you kidding me? We haven't even deleted yet. I still have it. But there's only one that hasn't been aired yet.
Out of all the recordings,
out of all the podcasts, and I believe the person with us was like, we can't air this.
Yeah. What's the statute of limitations on that?
There isn't, and we haven't brought him back on yet. We got to step that.
Yeah, we got to fix that.
Yeah, because
he knows who he is.
He knows who he is.
Yeah,
he's
a boy from down south.
There you go.
Beautiful.
All right.
All right, we'll cut it right there.
Mark, do you where can people find you if they want to check out an Insta spam or whatever? What's your
Low Country Swamp Runner?
There we go.
Instagram.
All right, anything else?
I think that's good.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely.
It's been a hoot.
Thank you.
Newman, thanks for joining in at the last minute, man. That was a ride.
Like I was saying, y'all boys are getting to the bottom of the barrel if you have me on.
No.
That's our favorite place to be. We just keep swirling it around and see who pops up.
Hey,
we are on the lower end here. If you haven't noticed, we're kind of.
I mean, I thought when you got old Jesse Johnson on, y'all was reaching low, but y'all reached way low to get me.
There's one of those drive-bys.
Sorry, Jesse.
Yeah, he knows it.
Oh, that's good.
Awesome.
That's good stuff.
All right, man. Thank you.
Excellent.
Hey, Newman, don't eat too many crayons, all right?
No, I know. I just had dinner, so I'm good till morning.
All right, man. We'll catch you.
All right. Beautiful. Real quick before we go. Just want to take a moment and thank our partner Black Widow Bows, along with Addictive Archery, Safari Tough, Great Northern Quivers, and Laurel Mountain Outfitters. Also, if you have a moment, please take the time to leave us a review. It really helps us out. On top of that, I just want to thank everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed, and best of luck out there.